Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. The current series from the book of Nehemiah is called Uncomfortable. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back to a brand new day, brand new episode, really in a brand new series. This is only our fourth episode in a series of lessons we're doing from the book of Nehemiah. One of my all-time favorite books in the Bible, Nehemiah. We've called the series Uncomfortable because really that's what's happening. A man that's in a very comfortable position, Nehemiah, is being called by God, burdened by the Lord, to do a very uncomfortable task. And Hannah, you've been here from the beginning of this series of lessons from Nehemiah, and we've kind of watched this thing unfold. Mm-hmm. How God planted the burden, how that Nehemiah had allowed that burden to fester in his heart, the planning process, the mm-hmm. praying, all of it. And now finally we're arriving in Jerusalem. So here we are in Nehemiah chapter 2, and he has just told the king all of what he needs, the resources, and the king has offered some protection. And I find in verse 10, I'm reading, guys, in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 10, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it. So they heard about the entourage and Nehemiah and the group arriving and the resources. It grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. And what a sad statement that, I mean, how self-centered do you have to be grieved? That's a strong word. When somebody else wants to help somebody else. In other words, these men saw Nehemiah helping Jerusalem through the lens of competition. I don't want them to be helped, because if they're helped, then they're going to be a stronger neighbor, and we like controlling them. We like subjugating them, and we don't want them to be strong. And it's a weak-minded person that wants to succeed at the expense of somebody else failing. Is that not what's going on here? They're wanting to succeed based upon someone else's failure. That's a carnal attitude for sure. But we're going to read more about them, aren't we? Sanballat, Tobiah. And then Geshem,
right,
is that another one?
Another person introduced later with a group.
Yeah. How would you like for your name, because those of you that are Bible literate, you know those names, Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem. How would you like your name forever to be associated with criticism and negativity? I mean, no one names their kids Adolf.
Right.
or Benedict Arnold. Or Judas. You know, certain names just kind of have an iconic feel negatively, and these are some of them. It says in verse 11, so I came to Jerusalem, again, Nehemiah just giving the account, I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And it's this 3 days that's really interesting to me, Hannah, because, you know, Nehemiah seems like a doer. He seems like a planner. We've seen that already. So, you know, why would he arrive in Jerusalem after that long journey with all those supplies and all of that approval from the king and all of, and yet he doesn't act upon anything. He doesn't even give the news to the leadership in Jerusalem for 3 days. You know, what's going on?
I think he was trying to get his bearings and decide who he can trust. I mean, it says in the later verses that he, without anyone knowing, and it was very very specific on that. It said without this person went on with a list without anyone knowing. He went and inspected the walls, inspected the area. I mean, that's just my insight. I mean, I could be wrong.
Yeah, do your homework first. Yeah, and before I'm going to get other people to buy into, to sign on to this project, even though he had obviously made some big rock decisions about supplies and logistics and getting there, now he's looking at the actual walls. Now he's looking at the actual gates. He's assessing the damage. He's getting a sense for what the project will entail. So before he shares that with the people, he wants to know what he's talking about, which I think is a great lesson for leaders in general. Instead of going in pell-mell, instead of going in and figuring it out as you go, he's taking it's an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, right? So he's exactly taking that time. So let's read it. Verse 12, and I arose in the night. So he's doing this night reconnaissance. I find that interesting as well. I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. There's a time to share what God's doing in your heart. There's a time to bring other people in on the burden. And Nehemiah didn't sense that time yet. He wanted to get as much information into his mental pouch as possible. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. You know, it's one thing to hear about a situation. It's another thing to see it. So, you know, Hannah, I know you've been on several missions trips. And, you know, growing up, you hear about missions and you even see videos and slide presentations of missionaries. But there's nothing really that prepares you like going.
No, not at all. I mean, and I know whenever you talk about, I mean, I've only been on a couple, but Nicaragua was the most recent. And I know when you speak of Nicaragua, as we went, the first trip was going to the dump and just literally people living in trash. I mean, like you said, no presentation, no story, nothing can prepare you for it. It's just a wave that hits you.
Right. It's the feel. It's the smell. It's just all of it. It's being there. I remember the first time I went to India and how overwhelmed I was. It felt like it was caving in around me. The country, the need was so palpable. And that's what's happening with Nehemiah. He's seeing this for himself. He sees the charred gates of the city. He sees the huge stones that are broken down and gaps in the wall where enemies can easily get into the city. And all of it's hitting him as he's there. It says in verse 14, then I went on to the gate of the fountain to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. So there are just even some places along this journey that are unpassable. I went up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. So just the marvelous specificity of the Bible as it's talking about where he went, where he turned back, what he saw. I mean, Nehemiah is taking some time and some effort here to really get the scope of the project, to zone in, to see the project in macro before he comes back and begins to assign and have a strategy for building. All the things we've talked about. The rulers, this is what I want you to see, Hannah, verse 16. The rulers knew not whither I went or what I did. That means the rulers of Jerusalem, those to whom he's going to be speaking. Neither had I yet told it to the Jews, the people, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. So Nehemiah said, I kept my mouth shut about all this. I needed to see it for myself. I needed to assess it for myself. And I just didn't tell anybody. That's a tough thing. Because, you know, I'm the kind of guy that, you know, if I know something, I want you to know about it right now. You know, I'm not a good secret keeper.
Yeah, you want to make an announcement, especially if it's something that you're burdened about, if it's something you're excited about. It's, you know, well, it's a good thing they didn't have social media back then.
Yeah, exactly.
It would be a lot easier to travel, but
exactly.
Yeah,
that would have gone viral for sure. But he finally does speak, and he said to them, so here's the way he's going to convey the message. And listeners, I want you to put yourself in this. Okay, so Nehemiah's there. He's been nurturing this burden now for months. He has surveyed the damage himself. So all of these weeks of prayer and fasting and mourning and planning are all culminating now in this announcement. How is he going to make the announcement? Here's what he says in verse 17. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste. So he immediately gets on the same side of the problem with everybody. Hey, this is something we're facing. And the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. So it's our problem. Let's all be part of the solution, including me. And then he gave the purpose. And it's so important in leadership to provide purpose statements, that we be no more a reproach. And I think latent in that suggestion is that we could begin to bring glory to God as he deserves, that we're not a people of reproach, but we're a people of glory
It helps to unify them. I mean, that's part of the purpose, is he's trying to unify them together.
Exactly. And unified around their common work, the common project, and unified around their common desire to honor God, mm-hmm. which I think that's a good practical unification, and it's a good spiritual unification. And then in verse 18, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they answered in kind. Nehemiah said, let's do this. They said, okay, let's do this. Especially after Nehemiah said, hey, God put this in my heart. And let me just tell you what happened with the king of the world, Artaxerxes. Let me tell you about what he provided. He began to show them that God's been at work now long before you got involved in the project. And that's always an inspiration, whether it be a missions project, whether it be taking over a church as a new pastor, whether it be whatever the case may be, it's always nice to know that God's work didn't begin with me, and God's work's not going to end with me. And Nehemiah was showing, hey, God's been at work now for a long time, and now he's letting you get in on this project. And they saw it, and they were excited, so they strengthened their hands for this work. And here's where I'll end for sake of time, Hannah, because then it says, but when Sanballat the Horonite, there we go, Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Because up until that time, they had been manipulating politically. Already, we read in Ezra, they had sent letters to the king to get the project started. They had lied about the people of Jerusalem. So now they're saying, yeah, so what are you going to do, rebel against the king? Not realizing that God has a sense of humor. He sent the king's cupbearer, whom the king knew very, very well. So these critics were barking up the wrong tree, weren't they?
Definitely.
Last verse I'll read. Then answered I them and said, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we as servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. You know, Nehemiah didn't get sidetracked. he could have argued. He could have gone point by point. He could have told them all the things that the king had provided. And don't tell me what the king's going to do or not do. I know the king. You don't. He didn't argue with critics. You know what he said? He just said, hey, you know, God's going to bless us. God's going to do this thing for us. We trust him. And this is our job, not yours. And what a great teaching for us. You know, all great works of God are going to be opposed. And it's important for us not to take the bait and start slinging mud with people that sling mud. You know, just know that God is going, the ultimate vindicator of God's purpose in your life is his bringing success to it. And so go ahead and let the critics criticize, let the scorners scorn, let the people laugh, because eventually wisdom will be justified of her children. And that's about all the time we have for today. Again, thanks for joining us. I look forward to our very next episode, and I hope you have the very best of days. God bless you guys.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.